A man who appreciates a good chance of rain like no other, Mr. Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Howdy there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. You are not wrong in that. We sure do need the rain.
So is there anything that people need to know about smart watering in the sense that you want to get the maximum amount of benefit from watering without wasting a lot of water?
Well, certainly watering early in the day, early part of the day, is the best for both the plants and water conservation. So when the temperatures aren't so high, you know, I mean, if you can at all avoid watering middle of the day when we've had these high temps, that's good. However, if you have no choice, it's better to keep your plants alive than to not water with that fear. So watering early in the day is best. Probably late in the evening is the worst, unless you're watering at the base of plants. So
do plants, wait a minute, what? Do plants go to bed early? What, are they watching their shows late in the evening? What's, yeah. You know, do they don't want to miss the Tonight Show or whatever? What's going on late in the evening?
Well, Seinfeld's on. You know,
oh, so. My mistake. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
No, it's really more an issue of making sure that foliage is dry going into the evening because the temperatures drop, of course, and that if that foliage goes into the evening and overnight wet, you have better chances of creating fungal issues and all sorts of stuff. So that's the least favorable time
okay.
if you're watering overhead.
Got it.
And then certainly as you're watering, make sure you're directing it where you want it to go. And, you know, there's lots of cool sprinklers now where you can pinpoint exactly where you want the water to land. And that is helpful, too, so you're not watering the sidewalk or the driveway or the road.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever, or the side of the house.
Yeah, when you have to shut all the windows.
Yeah.
It's like, I watered my, I have, you know, a nice little double love seat thing on the sitting porch in the back. So, of course, I can sit there with dogs. And I watered that a little bit over the weekend. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. And it, you know, it is nice. It's good to be taken care of. A lot of our plants through this extended dry period, and now it's all in drought, plants will need to be watered. And even in some cases, if it becomes more extreme than it already is, folks may lose things like their entire lawn, which becomes very costly to replace or repair.
I got to tell you that nightshade seems to not mind drought at all.
Well, it's interesting. If you look at people's yards, the things that are doing well are the weeds.
A weed, my grandpa used to say that a weed is something growing someplace you don't want it to be.
A weed is a plant out of place.
Okay, yeah. So I am pretty excited. It turns out, and there's been some interesting talk about it on the gardening page and on the nature page, and of course I was really interested in it, but didn't commit any of it to memory. There is deadly nightshade, belladonna, which apparently doesn't grow very well in our area. Then there is the nightshade that has the Vikings flowers on it that are beautiful purple and gold flowers. Now, if you've got animals or children or adults, for that matter, who put everything in their mouths, this is not a smart plant to have around.
Because
it could make somebody sick. They would not kill them, but it would make them sick. And you usually don't necessarily want to do that. I just like the Vikings flowers. I just find it very cheerful and pretty. And the idea of, you know, having just a tiny little mild poison handy.
Yeah.
You know.
So something happens in your yard and something happens to somebody. It's like, I warned them.
Exactly. Exactly.
I warned them.
Exactly. She said she was excited about it. Look, she put it on a trellis. So
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but it is interesting, because, and that's the funny thing. I have this whole theory on weeds, but they are much more adaptable and deeper root systems and stronger plants. And they, in situations like this, they do quite well. And they would be trucking right along.
Okay, so if somebody figured out a way to monetize nightshade, for example, and, you know, I mean, if the Minnesota Vikings adopted it as their official flower, for example, then all of a sudden it would stop growing so well?
Who knows?
I mean, part of the idea that a crop is something that you want, so you have to really work at it to make it grow?
That's it. Okay. Exactly.
All right, just checking.
The things that are harder, we want.
Yeah. This and the burdock, man, it's way too easy.
Yeah. So along with weeds being an issue, and we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, garden pests are a major issue this year, or the worst I've seen since I've been gardening in Duluth. So things like folks are reporting being overrun with grasshoppers. One of the things I'm dealing with is Colorado potato beetle. So folks are seeing a lot of these insects that these are ideal weather conditions for them to multiply in multiple generations. Oftentimes, some of them are producing a new generation every week.
Wow!
So you can imagine how that population can explode. And one in particular that folks really need to be watching for: grasshoppers will do some damage, probably won't kill it. The Colorado potato beetle will do some damage, will affect the production of your potato, but probably won't kill the plant. But one that's out there that folks really need to be looking for, and it's everywhere this year, is a tiny little green insect called a leaf hopper. And folks will see it when they brush up against plants or even walking across their lawn. They'll see a little cloud of these that raises up and moves as they're walking or as they brush their plants. And we don't really think anything of it because it's just a tiny little insect. And how much damage can it do? Well, the big problem with it is it carries a disease called aster yellows. And folks, if they have a chance, look it up to see what they might be dealing with. And if they are carrying that disease, and they often do, and they take it from one plant to another, it kills the plant. It genetically destroys the plant, and there is no cure for it and is no treatment for it. So it goes after grain crops, it goes after flowers, echinaceas, and black-eyed Susans, dahlias, and all sorts of things. And once it gets into the root system of that plant is done. So, and we are seeing just billions of them in the area. And because, again, the weather conditions are perfect for it, and we're seeing a lot of multiple populations. So folks, if they're seeing those in their gardens, it's pretty serious. They actually can even go after trees and do damage to trees and bushes and grain crops like wheat and barley and all sorts of stuff. So, and it's pretty, has some difficulty in controlling it too, but so people get after it early. I recommend treating it organically, of course, because that's what we do, and people can use neem oil or insecticidal soap in rotation about every 3 to 4 days, and that will help keep it in check or keep them in check.
Wow.
Yeah, they really want to watch out. It's the tiniest little beast you'd ever want to meet.
Oh, jeez. Well, despite your leaf hopper trials, you have been doing a great job. You brought your first harvest to the Damiano Center just within a week or so, haven't you?
Yes. Yes. And we bring food every Thursday. And last Thursday, we brought almost 60 pounds, so about 20 pounds of beautiful peas, and then cabbage and radishes and turnips and dill and basil and fennel. And this week we probably will double that number. And so it's been really, the field has been beautiful. Of course, this warm weather has really helped things grow.
Grow like weeds.
Grow like weeds, and there are lots of weeds. For anybody
grow like leafhopperless weeds.
Yes. But the field is doing well, and the program, our open hand food program, is doing well and doing good things. And we're hoping, you know, in the next week or so to branch out a little bit and start giving food to some of the other facilities that need it, like Ruth House and Chum and things like that. Been a lot of fun, and we've had some very dedicated volunteers coming up every week, and certainly are looking for other folks if they would like to come up and help, to come and help pull weeds. We it's sort of one of those things, you know, when you're for gardeners, this is your reward kind of thing. So if you pull weeds for the first hour, you get to harvest for the second hour.
Nice. Well, yeah, what if you stalk leafhoppers for the first hour?
Well, you could do that. And I actually spray, as I mentioned, with insecticidal soap, which is some organic control of many garden pests, and so it's neem oil.
Do you have like a crop duster plane fly over and go whoosh and drop a big load of insecticidal soap on all of the people and plants and whatever?
That's spoken like a true North Dakotan, isn't it?
It was just 4 years, but it was a really impactful 4 years.
Yeah, it's a smaller field, so we just use a drone.
Oh, no, well, yeah, kidding. Sure, smarty pants.
No, I just apply it by hand, with a small sprayer. And
you know what you need for next year? Draft horses.
There you go. I'd love to have a horse up there.
I know. Actually,
what I want is a mini donkey.
No, you need draft horses. We'll talk. It'll be super fun. TK, thanks a million for joining us. We'll get some links set up in case folks want to come out and volunteer, or they have an idea, some places that could maybe use some of the produce from the Open Hands Food Program. Folks can find out more about that particular program. We'll get a link up for that. And in the meantime, you stay safe from those wacky leafhoppers, okay?
I'm always on the lookout.
Attaboy. Tom Casper, our longtime host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of Northland Morning here on KUMD.